Thank you so much for joining us. You are tuned in now to Access Day on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territories at the University of British Columbia. I hope everyone has enjoyed the programming so far. It's been a really excellent day. A reminder that all the podcasts of the stories and live performances that you've heard so far will be available on the CITR website at www.citr.ca in the next couple days, so look out for those. All right, we've reached the last hour of programming for Access Day, and coming up we've got an interview with Adam Grant Warren, who is an award-winning theatre and filmmaker based in Vancouver, BC. His new play, Last Train In, opens at the Revolver Festival in Vancouver on May 30th. Following the interview with Adam, we have an interview with Grant Hardy from Accessible Media Incorporated, so don't go anywhere, it's going to be great. First and foremost, it would be great if you would introduce yourself for our listeners.
My name is Adam Grant Warren. I am a playwright. Well, I'm a writer, director, sometimes mostly writer and performer these days for theater, and a little bit for film, but mostly for theater.
Cool. And I read somewhere that you are currently, or you've previously been, an instructor at the Vancouver Film School. Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
Cool. So that's a lot of different things. you have so many different artistic pursuits. You're also a teacher. Can you tell me a bit about your background and how you got to the place that you're at with respect to your creative practices?
Sure. I started writing professionally, I guess, in my early 20s or so, back in Newfoundland. I'm originally from Newfoundland. And I started as a columnist for CBC Radio. With the morning show, probably in my early 20s. Then I guess that started to get a little traction, and it was great, and it was also not great, because I think I felt myself becoming the person that they looked to talk about what it was like to have a disability. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, that was good for a time, and then I felt a little bit sort of like one note about mm-hmm. it. So I sort of stepped away from that for a while, and I went and got my education degree at Memorial University. So I did that, and then sort of just as I finished that degree, I actually spent, and this is what my current show is about, I spent a year teaching English and theater arts in London, England.
Cool.
And so I did that for a while, but it wasn't the greatest of fits, which is what my show is essentially about, like I said. And I came back, and I sort of came back to Newfoundland, and I regrouped, and there was a thing in the newspaper for an Eastern Canada roadshow from Vancouver Film School. So I went and put together a portfolio of my writing up to that point, and I applied to Vancouver Film School and got in, did my year there in the writing program, and had some luck having graduated, and then they brought me back to teach.
Cool.
Yeah.
So then how long have you been living and working in Vancouver?
I've been, it's like I'm quoting Lunch My Show. I've been in Vancouver for about 9 years.
Cool. What do you like about working here?
Oh, wow. So many things. It's a big enough, I came to Vancouver, I guess, via the UK and London. Mm-hmm. And it was overwhelming. The size of it, the people, the sort of, just the mass of the city. And came back here. I came back to Newfoundland, but I guess coming to Vancouver, it's just about the right size for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's big enough to be big, but not so big that I feel lost in it. The work that I do here as an artist and as a teacher, I feel like it has, you know, I can kind of read the impact, and that really feels really good.
Do you mean, so when you say you read the impact, like you feel like you have a better connection to those that are like witnessing your performances and things like that and people you're collaborating with?
Yeah, I can, you know, in terms of my students and the people I collaborate with and the people I perform for, I guess I can sort of feel myself making inroads or feel myself having an impact or, and doing some good and making some difference.
Cool. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
So the next theater performance that you have coming up is called Last Train In.
Mm-hmm.
That's opening in Vancouver and in Victoria in May, correct?
That's right.
And so is this a brand new show?
Well, it's been in development for like a couple of years. It actually started, and you just said you did an interview with Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Yuri's time as artistic director with Kickstart, Last Train In started while it was still under Emma Kivizold. And it was a commission of new work as part of something called the Fine Line Project. So I wrote it. You know, I had been meaning to write it, obviously, the show. And Emma just sort of offered me a platform and said, would you like to write the show and do a stage reading as part of this project? And I said, sure. So this was like 2 years ago. So the show has been in development through Kickstarter and the PTC and, yeah, the PTC Writers Colony, just a bunch of different venues until just now. And it finally has sort of picked up and gotten some legs and doing its thing.
Great. Can you tell me a bit about the story and the show?
Yeah, it takes place over a single night when I actually got trapped. This was when I was in London, and I was taking the last train. It's called the Last Train In, and I was taking the last train back from London on a particular night, and I got trapped in the train station, my home train station, because there was no elevator. There were just these two flights of stairs, and there was no one around to give me a hand. So essentially, I guess it's the story of that hour and sort of what it led me to, and not just being stuck as a person with a disability. I think there are lots of shows around about that, and mm-hmm. I just don't really have a lot of interest in exploring that at this point in my career.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was, for me, the show is more about, you know, what it's like for me to have been stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense that everyone is stuck on something at some time. Everyone is in a place where they feel like they can't get out and they can't get any traction, or they're just in a place where they didn't expect to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd like to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately that's what it was. I mean, that's what the show is for me, and it's about how I said I got out versus how I got out. So essentially there's an element of truth and fiction in there too. You know, I spent a lot of years telling one story and then there was a story of what really happened. So there's essentially, it's about embellishment and truth and the willingness to be honest about something and how something happened.
Wow, cool. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really fantastic show.
I hope so.
Where is it playing in Vancouver?
It's playing at the Kulch.
Great, great.
As part of, just for a plug, it's playing at the Kulch as part of the Revolver Theater Festival here in town with a company called Up in the Air Theater. And they're just great people.
Awesome. And that's towards the end of May, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great. We'll make sure to post all those details so folks can find out where to get tickets and how to attend the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you wrote that, obviously. It's about your experience.
Yep.
What are the things that you look to for inspiration when you're working on writing theater or other writing in general?
I do tend to look to personal experience. Beyond that, I tend to look to personal heritage. I'm also a big fan of the magical realism.
Mm-hmm.
So I do tend to look, you know, I think the biggest question for any writer, any creator, especially in the literary arts, is what if? So what if this were to happen? Or what if, you know, X were true? Or what if Y were to occur? You know what I mean? And so I think I go to what ifs, but I tend to try and root my what ifs in things that I know.
Mm-hmm. And do you prefer working alone, or is collaboration something that you find to get a lot of benefit from?
Oh, I love. I mean, I'm fine working alone, but I love collaboration, and I love the energy that the right combination of, and even sometimes the wrong combination of people, bring to a room and to a table, just a bunch of like minds and different minds who come together, and just so many beautiful offerings. And I just think it's lovely to just kind of filter through them and sort them out and make sense of them and turn them into something.
Totally. Yeah, I've heard some folks say that, like, when they have an idea for a play or something that they write, they kind of come up with it, and then, like, on their own, and then once you get other people involved, it ends up being something that they never would have imagined it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, which is really cool, I think, and really powerful. Great. So some of the productions you've been involved with in the past have been presented by the Real Wheels Theater Society. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about your experience working with that group.
I think Real Wheels does exactly what, you know, what they set out to do. They make important work. And I think the most important thing that Real Wheels does is give people who don't necessarily see that they have a means to express or the tools to express. Real Wheels works really hard to mentor and to put new talent forward and to assist other people that don't have, you know, the privilege of the formal theater education or formal performance training. Real Wheels gives that. So people like those people a chance to step up and say, I would like to tell this story. Mm-hmm. I would like to share this experience. And I think that that's one of the most valuable things I do.
Cool. So the article that I'm working on and something that I've been thinking about for Discorder this month is focusing on the accessibility and the inaccessibility of the local music community. I myself, as someone who attends a lot of shows in the community, like that have local bands playing at them, goes to a lot of venues, and I've just noticed in the past while that there aren't a lot of conversations about accessibility that happen and a lot of discussions, and I think that there should be, and I think that it's like something that is important and that should be happening. And so that was kind of the motivation for me working on this article for Discorder and being involved with Access Day on CITR. And so I'm wondering, like, as an artist and a creator and a teacher in the city, like, what does the accessibility of Alton arts and culture spaces look like for you?
I think it's an interesting thing for me because being from Newfoundland, a lot of sort of the public spaces and the cultural spaces and the historical spaces in Newfoundland, a lot of them aren't particularly wheelchair friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously I can only speak as a wheelchair user. There are other types of, you know, disability that there's infinite types of disability that I can't speak to. But as a wheelchair user, I mean, growing up in Newfoundland, it was very much like I wanted to go see a show in some places. And well, the reality was that I would have to just go up a bunch of stairs and carry my chair up, or I would have to get somebody to carry my chair for me while I went up a bunch of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reality of the space. And so coming to Vancouver initially, I still had a great deal of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like, I would come to these spaces and there would be staircases and I'd be just like, let's go. Fine. Good. You know, not fine, good, wonderful, but here's mm-hmm. the thing. And then I have the tools to deal with it. And so I do. But I think the more time I spend in Vancouver, the larger my circle of colleagues and collaborators who have disabilities, the larger that circle gets, the more I realize that there has to be a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be anymore. It can't be, you know, just because I can get out of my chair and walk up a bunch of stairs, I can do it and, you know, sucks to the rest of you people. There has to be that bar, and everyone has to be able to meet that bar and get over it. So right now, I think that there is some really, really important work going on that I think Real Wheels and Kickstart have both been instrumental in putting up a hand and saying, you know, hey, hello, we need to have this discussion. And so the discussion's been happening, and spaces have been taking that into account. Just a a few spaces that I've worked in. I mean, the Roundhouse Community Center is amazing for accessibility. The Colch, where my new show is going up as part of Revolver, also quite good. Green Sun Theater, where I'm rehearsing my new show, they're wonderful. But there are a bunch of spaces where not so much the case. And I'm also a frequent collaborator with the All Bodies Dance Project. And so one of the things that I recognize now is most dance studio spaces are fairly hideously inaccessible. And so when I want to go do a contact class or something with my friends, and some of them might use a power chair or not be able to otherwise get up some stairs, and I, you know, we can't go. And I'm no longer in a place where I will say, okay, I'll go. I guess you can't go. You know, solidarity. I'm gonna stand with my people, and I'm gonna say my friends, and I'm gonna say, you know, if my friends can't go, I'm not gonna go. You know, but in terms of I think the discussion is the work is happening.
That's
one of the things that I want to make clear. If you look at like the Playwrights Theatre Center. I love the people at the Playwrights Theatre Center, and if you know, everyone should work with them. But they have physically their space that they're operating out of now is over a large flight of stairs, and it's fairly inaccessible to folks who are wheelchair users, say. However, they are also at the forefront of this initiative for inclusiveness. So they're doing what they can from that space. And what they're doing is, you know, they're doing things like, say, for example, promoting relaxed rehearsals. You can look up those up if you'd like to know more about those, but they are promoting relaxed rehearsals. And when someone like me comes along and says, I have a show that I would like to develop with you guys, are you interested? They say yes, and then the first thing they do is find a space that's accessible that we can all use. You know? So again, the initiatives are there. I can't really speak to I know quite a number of my friends who want to go to these sort of these live music events. But it's my understanding is that the majority of these live music events are in whatever spaces happen to be available and affordable.
Yeah.
You know, and available, affordable spaces don't often come with accessibility regulations and requirements.
Yeah.
So,
It's tricky. Like, I think, I think personally, just from my experience, like, it seems to me that the work that a lot of the, like, theater community is doing is incredible. Like, like you said, the work is happening and the conversations are happening and it's there. And I think in some ways a lot of, other smaller communities can hopefully learn a lot and, like, take information from what the organizations like Real Wheels or Kickstart are doing to be able to make improvements and make changes. But it is also an issue of what's available and what spaces are cheap and sometimes those ones then aren't even legal venues. So then that adds another level of difficulty. So,
but I
still don't think that means that the conversation should stop. Right.
Absolutely not. I think, In terms of practical next steps, it's always a question. It always comes down to, you know, who's having discussion, who's around the table.
Yeah.
Right? Who's around the table? Who's in charge of these venues? Who's in charge of these concert situations? Who are the event promoters? Who are the organizers? How can we get these people in a room and say, look, there are entire populations of folks who want to. Who want to go to these, who want to enjoy these events, who want to access these concerts and these venues. What can we do, given that these are the spaces that you have access to? What can we do, given that these are the people you have access to? What can we do? You know, but it has to be. It can't just be a room full of people. And this is something that I've sort of reached by now. At this point in my career, it can't just be a theoretical conversation about, you know, steps we could take by 2020. You know, these things are happening now. So the discussion has to happen now about what is available now. And if really, I guess it comes down to the support of the city. It comes down to the support of your municipalities. It comes down to the support of the event organizers who are, in my humble opinion, like I want to work with as an artist. I want to work with event organizers who are willing to take the extra few hours to sit and have a discussion and say, you know, okay, what are the event limitations here? How do we make this as accessible as we can to as many people as we can, period? Not just people in wheelchairs, not just blind folks, mm-hmm. not just the deaf or hard of hearing. Everyone, how do we make this event as universally accessible as we can? If we don't have the budget, then who do we approach for funding, right? How do we get, when we do have, and this is a problem too, when we do have an accessible venue that features ASL interpretation and vocal eye interpretation and all those things, how do we get that information out so that we can reach out to the community and say, hey, we're doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Very important part.
Right? So that's the other side too, and I mean I don't have all the answers. I'm fortunate enough to I'll be going to Ottawa in the end of June. I want to say June, yeah. I'll be going to Ottawa at the end of June to do this, to be a part of this thing called the Republic of Inclusion. And again, it is for theater makers across Canada, but part of it is, it's going to be, you know, the shape of theater and what's on the stage, but it's also a question of how we get to the stages. And I think that's an important shift for me as a performer, is that people are all about making certain, I can't say people are all about it because I just said that they're not, people, but people are interested at this point, people are interested in making venues accessible to disabled people, to patrons with disabilities, but there's this interesting shift that's still going on, where now we have to look at, you know, making the performance spaces accessible to people with disabilities.
Yeah,
and I think that's going on as well. But I wish, like I said, it really is just a case of bringing the right people to the table and saying, we recognize that these are the limitations of your event, but now, how do we make the most of this situation? Or how do we, you know, where do we find the money so that we don't have to, you don't have to have a concert in a not necessarily even legal venue? Mm-hmm. Where do you find the money? Because you're just missing out on patronage.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think those are all really excellent points. And it's a huge conversation, and it is... There isn't one solid answer, but it's important to continue to have it, I think. So, great. So, where can people learn more about your upcoming show and about other projects that you are working on?
Well, I'm working on my own .com right now. It should be up by the time the show goes.
Cool.
It's not up yet, but maybe you can poke it in down the road. It's just my name, adamgrantwarren.com.
Great.
And right now, though, you can check out Up in the Air Theater. So, about my show, it'll be in Victoria at the UNO Festival on May 24th and May 25th.
Great.
And you can visit UNO at intrepidtheater.com. Intrepidtheater.com.
Great.
And in for Revolver, you can check out upinthe.airtheater.com, and it's under the Revolver Theater Festival, and the show is called Last Train In.
Great. Sounds fantastic. Cool. Well, that's all the questions that I have. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, or anything that we touched on that you want to elaborate on, or any other comments or thoughts?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for wanting to have the discussion.
Yeah, definitely.